Well, amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 5 through 9 in just a moment. Now, I know we just recognized Veterans Day and celebrated our veterans, but we're just a couple of months removed from Labor Day. Has it ever struck you as a bit ironic that everybody wants Labor Day off? just saying. But in reality, we think of Labor Day as that sort of last chance to get a last-minute vacation, the last warm weekend of the year. Of course, we in Georgia, we realize it could be a warm weekend in November, a warm weekend in December. But nevertheless, a lot of people like to take that time off. Labor Day was first celebrated in New York City on Tuesday, September the 5th, 1882, by the Central Labor Union. It was intended to be a working man's holiday that celebrated the labor efforts of the American worker. In 1884, the first Monday in September was chosen as the holiday, and in 1887, Oregon became the first state to recognize Labor Day. It wasn't until June 28, 1894, that Congress passed an act making Labor Day a legal holiday for everyone in the U.S. So each year, we recognize the workforce of our country with a day off. The sad thing is that not everybody gets that day off, because a lot of the folks who get the day off wouldn't be able to enjoy the day if it wasn't for those who have to work on Labor Day. But one of the things that's true about the workplace is in the workplace there will always be relationships. You know, a little more remote working now, and maybe those relationships are via a computer screen, but still there are relationships. And some people walk around singing, "You can take this job and love it." You were scared for a minute, weren't you? Some walk around singing "The One That Popped in Your Brain" by Johnny Paycheck. I hope that's not the case for you. We need to learn to do our jobs to the best of our abilities and honor God in the way that we work. The passage that we're going to look at this morning speaks specifically in context to the master-slave relationship, but it is by no means stretching in any way, shape, or form to apply this today to the employer-employee relationship. Slavery was a common practice in the Roman Empire, and there may have been as many as 6 million slaves at the time of this writing. Paul did not speak directly against slavery, although anyone who would objectively look at the teaching of Scripture would understand that the teaching of Scripture absolutely led to the abolition of slavery. We realize and understand that slavery in any form is not pleasing to God, but our purpose this morning is to look at how this passage applies to the employee-employer relationship in the workplace. So let's take a look at what Paul has to say in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. "Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as you would Christ. Don't work only while being watched as people-pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. Do God's will from your heart. Serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to people, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves the same way without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word." Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your word is not a truth, but is the truth. God, open our hearts and minds right now to hear from you. Help us to apply your word in our lives and to walk in it. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, and may your truth be spoken here. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this text this morning, I want to look at three reasons a Christian should be a good employee, and then we're going to look at four ways a Christian should be a good employer. So first of all, we're going to look at the three reasons a Christian should be a good employee, and number one, realize who you work for. Paul tells Christians that we must realize who we work for. It's imperative for us to understand that when we work, we don't work for our immediate boss here on earth. We work for God. Our job as believers is to glorify God and to honor God in what we do. We should be the ones to do our very best and remember that He is our boss. Remember, all the way back in chapter 5, verse 21, Paul instructs believers to submit to one another. He said, submit to one another in the Lord. You and I submit to one another. You and I should honor one another and be the kind of people that God has called us to be. Remember, Jesus came to serve, and he modeled that for us. It is our job to serve others. Being a humble employee to your boss is showing a Christian attitude of submissiveness. Now, I'm not saying spinelessness, okay? Because the reality is to truly be submissive takes backbone. Sometimes it takes the strength to not say something you really want to say. I'm so glad people don't hear what's in my head sometimes. praise the Lord for that. But your boss might be a total twerp with a major attitude, but you don't work for him. You work for Christ. Imagine the testimony and the witness that you can give as an employee if you're dependable, if you're cooperative in all that you do. Even when what's being asked of you may be a little bit above and beyond the call of duty, you should still demonstrate a humble and submissive heart. If you truly believe that God is sovereign, then you can trust him to take care of your needs and that you don't have to worry about him taking care of those things, whether it's promotions or salary or whatever. Trust him in that. I'm not saying that you should be timid and let people walk all over you, but I am saying that the Christian in the workplace should not be the one known as the slacker or the whiner. You and I ought to be godly in the way that we do things. As a Christian, we should set the example for those that we work with. We should not be the one passing around the funny pictures or the mean pictures of the boss. Behind the boss's back. Neither Jeff, where is he? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. If Jeff had a funny picture of me, he'd send it to me. So, But neither should the Christian seek to undermine the authority of the employer or the boss. Even if your boss is lost, they will still answer to God one day. But don't forget this, you will too. So how we respond and how we act in the workplace has real importance in our future conversations with God. So let me ask you this. If your boss in particular is not a believer, does your boss know anything good about God from watching your life and watching your work? Are you being an influence in the workplace? Does your boss see how valuable you are as an employee because of your strength of character and your integrity? If you'll just remember that you're working for Christ, wherever you work, you'll always seek to do your best. We have a great boss who loves us in spite of our mistakes and truly knows and rewards the good intentions of our heart. So we need to realize who we work for. But secondly, we need to realize that doing good work is God's will. In verse 6, Paul lets us know that being a good employee or slave in the immediate context is doing the will of God. Now, I know that none of you here have ever seen anybody in the workplace who was always busy as long as the boss was looking. Never seen anybody like that. They were smiles and friendly and great when the boss was around, but as soon as the boss is gone, their demeanor completely changes. They're nothing like that at all. They always sounded like cooperative workers, cooperative employees when the boss was listening. However, when the boss went away, they were mean to the other employees and really didn't work hard. Paul, I'm confident that Paul knew some people like that. Paul had seen people like that. As soon as the boss was around, they were doing everything good. As soon as the boss went away, nope, no more. Paul pointed out the truth that God is pleased with those who do good work. And here's the thing, if we remember that Christ is our boss, he's always watching. Just go read Psalm 139. David, in particular, in that psalm, talks about the fact there's not a place you can go that God's not already there. So when it comes to our workplace, God is there, and he sees what we're doing. He sees the attitude of our heart, and it's sad to think that we might do work for God that's anything less than our best. Remember, we ultimately work for him, and we had better give him our very best. Unfortunately, this tends to spill over in our Christian lives. Christians don't give God their best to begin with. Some Christians want to settle for giving God just a little of their life. Can't say it enough. God has not called you to be good. God has not called you to be good. He's called you to be holy. There's a huge difference. And there are not levels of Christianity. Well, I'm a good Christian, just not a super Christian. I'm a good one, but not super. No. We're all called to the same calling by the same God with the same expectations. And our paradigm, our model is not the person in the pew next to me. It's Christ. He's the model and he's the goal. He's the one that I want to reflect in what I do. And our work ethic should stem from the reality that we love him and we want to do our best for him. Paul even tells us in verse 7 that when we do work, we should do so with goodwill. You know, it's not really enjoyable to have somebody do something for you reluctantly. I'm going to be honest and ashamed to say I've done things for my wife reluctantly. And you know what? When I do that, she'd rather just do it herself. And I don't blame her. This is a bad attitude. Folks, we should do what we do to honor God. We're all in the boat of doing things sometimes from the wrong attitude. But God has called us to glorify him in what we do. And when we've not been asked to do something immoral or unethical, we ought to do it to honor God. Now be careful that you don't confuse priorities in the process. Your family is more important than your job. I realize there are times when the job is going to interrupt time with the family. But when people become consumed by the job and set aside the family, that's a problem. That's a problem. As a Christian, we should be one of the most dependable employees in our company, and we should do everything that we do for God's glory. Doing good work is God's will. The third reason a Christian should be a good employee is that God will reward your good work. Paul gives us encouraging words in verse 8. Whatever good we do, we will receive back from the Lord. But I have to tell you, I found in God's economy that what God blesses back is way more than I ever give him. You know, I mean, the truth is, if all we had, and I hate to even say it this way, if all we had was forgiveness and eternal life, we'd have way more than we deserve, okay? But God does so much more than that for us. So much more than that. God is our boss. He's the one that we work for, and he doesn't miss anything. He sees everything you do. And he will reward your good work. It's true that when we slack off on the job, it's not pleasing to God. He will notice that as well. And I know that's really easy to get caught up in what the world has to offer and to seek after the rewards of the world of doing a good job. Sure, it's nice to have a good salary. It's nice to have prestige and a position. It's nice to have all the things that come with that, a big home, a fancy truck, a ski boat, or whatever. But in reality, all of those things will fade away. No matter how famous you become, you'll be forgotten. No matter how much stuff you have, it will not go ahead of you, and it will not go with you. Trust me, I've done a lot of funerals. Never once seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. So no matter how much we gain in this life, it will go away. But the things we store up in heaven will last for eternity. The treasures that God has for us will never fade away, and they will always be a blessing. I'm reminded of the old gospel song that says, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But on that hilltop, where the ransomed will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. Now listen, I got to be honest. When I look at the Revelation, I'm not so much thinking about silver and gold houses. I'm just thinking about the fact that God is going to bless us with a dwelling place that's out of, even remotely out of our mind. We can't even begin to wrap our brains around it, way out of this world, literally, thankfully. Not tainted by the stuff of this world. So much better than we can begin to imagine. But when we work, we should not be working to see what we can amass, but instead, we should be working to glorify God and trust that he will honor what we do. I may not be a Rhodes Scholar, but I know that eternity will last a lot longer than this lifetime. If we could somehow illustrate eternity in here, and we could somehow run a rope around this room, and it just continued on without end, your life would be a dot on that rope. But eternity won't end. A Christian should set the example in the workplace. We really shouldn't always have to be asked to do things. We should be the kind of worker that seeks out to do things and seeks to help others. Our speech, our behavior, and our commitment should be exemplary before others. A lazy Christian employee sets a bad example and apparently doesn't realize that they're working for God. Imagine what a lost person must think of someone who proclaims that they are a Christian but is lazy and useless in the workplace. The Christian employee should be a man or woman of his word, and can be counted upon to complete a task, quite frankly, if I'm just being honest here, I'd rather you not tell them you're a Christian if you plan on being lazy at work. There are plenty of folks who give a bad witness to the kingdom. Let's be a good witness. You and I can't make everyone else represent God well, but we can control what we do. So let's do our work for the Lord and honor Him with our hard work. So Christians should be good employees. So you see the three reasons a Christian should be a good employee. But now I want you to look at four ways a Christian should be a good employer. First of all, should be someone who's known to take care of their employees. We live in a day and time when so many companies just look at the bottom line and don't have much concern for employees. But I immediately have places pop into my head that I think about that are led with Christian values. Hobby Lobby. Their whole mantra has been to take care of their employees. When other people weren't raising salaries, they were raising salaries. They were doing things to try to take care of their employees. But many employers don't take care of their employees and make people feel like they're not appreciated and make them feel like that they don't matter. I realize that many employees through the years have hopped from one place to another and done that kind of thing, but some of that has to do with how companies take care or don't take care of their employees. Indeed, we see more and more companies following models like Hobby Lobby and doing things to take care of their employees. But an employee that feels valued and cared for will make a good employee. A Christian employer should not ask an employee to sacrifice his family for the sake of a job. A Christian employer should not ask an employee to do anything that's not ethical or that's immoral and could be called into question. A Christian employer should always seek to go to bat for his employees. The Christian employer that looks out for his workers is going to honor God. But secondly, should not be someone who threatens their workers. Now, I want to be very clear about here. What Paul's talking about here is threatening in a very demonstrative way, and literally you have to understand the context of what Paul was writing into. The slave was owned by the master in this sense, even to his life. In other words, the master could determine if the slave was going to live and face no consequences from the law. So when he's talking about this kind of threatening, that's what Paul is talking about here. But as a Christian employer, we should be people who encourage, who seek to build up. Admittedly, there are times when criticism has to happen, and there are times, unfortunately, when you have to let somebody go. I got to be honest, as a pastor through the years, I don't enjoy letting people go, but I've had to do it because it was the right thing to do. If somebody doesn't honor God in what they do and working in the church, in the workplace, then sometimes people have to be let go. But it should be our desire to do everything that we can to give them every opportunity to succeed. You know, growing up, I had coaches along the way. I had coaches who'd want to rip you down, you know, who just want to tear into you at every opportunity they had. And I had coaches who were encouragers. Can I be honest? I always wanted to play harder for the encouragers than the ones who were tearing me down. And I think that's true in the workplace. I think on the whole, most people respond better to encouragers than they do to people who want to tear them down. While I was in seminary, I served in Henderson, North Carolina at Cary Baptist Church, and I worked along with a pastor there who's, if memory serves me correctly, he's about 7 years older than me. And in working alongside him, he was doing a long-range plan for the church, and he asked me to do a long-range plan for the music and youth ministries of the church. And if I'm being honest, for the whole document, I might have done 15% of the document, maybe. But when it came time to present that to the church, everything he talked about was we and talking about both of us. And that was an encouragement to me. That made me feel like I added something of value to that, even though I knew that the amount of work that I put into that was nothing compared to what he put into that. But the Christian employer looks out for his workers and encourages them. The third way that we can add value is that as a leader is we should be submitted to the Lord. Paul has reminded the employee that he actually works for God. Paul then turns to the employer and reminds him that he serves the same master as the employee. In verse 9, Paul couldn't have been any clearer than to say, both their master and yours is in heaven. So whether you own the business, a small business, or you're a CEO of a major corporation, you still have a boss in heaven if you're a Christian. I couldn't help but to admire the leadership of someone like Truett Cathy in Chick-fil-A and what Truett Cathy did through the years and making it about his employees. And even to this day, you see that carried over in Chick-fil-A. When so many restaurants would have three or four people working because they couldn't hire anybody, you'd still go to Chick-fil-A and there'd be a lot more people there. Now, that's not to say they didn't have some labor issues too, but the reality is more people wanted to work there because of the environment that's created in the workplace. God blessed Truett Cathy because he wanted to honor God in his business. And one thing we all know he did, same thing Hobby Lobby does, don't open on Sunday. And he never gave way to that. When he started going into malls, the malls kept saying, are you going to have to be open on Sunday? He said, then I won't be in the mall. He made it pretty simple. And the reality is in 6 days a week, he makes more money than any other, or not he anymore, but Chick-fil-A makes more money than other fast food restaurants just open 6 days a week. You see, we can only learn to lead properly when we look at the greatest leader. And we find the greatest leader in Scripture. Christ modeled leadership for us. He poured in to a small group in particular, three of the 12, he poured into more specifically, more intentionally. He pulled them aside and poured into them. And that's a model for leadership for us. But he also poured into the others. And he set the example in serving others. When someone finds out that an employer or boss is a Christian, whether they're a Christian or not, they ought to have already recognized that something's different about their leadership because they do things in a way that honors God. Surely if we've surrendered to the Lord, we'll know how to treat people fairly and we'll honor God with our behavior as an employer. Paul was dealing with a more restrictive setting because, as I mentioned before, in the Roman Empire, the master could take the life of a disobedient slave. However, Paul knew that a master submitted to God would be led by God and would therefore not behave in that way and would do all that they could to honor God in what they did. As we've already said, Paul has called all of us to submit to one another in the Lord. So when we do submit to God, our behavior is impacted by his control of our lives. So we see that a Christian employer should be known to take care of their employees, should not threaten workers, should be submitted to the Lord. But fourthly, and I want you to see, I really do want you to see it, show no partiality. Now, Paul tells employers that they should show no partiality. God has shown no partiality when it comes to salvation. Listen, I don't care where they were born. I don't care what their skin color is. I don't care what they look like. Jesus Christ died to save them on the cross. And if you don't understand and agree with that, you better start reading your Bible because that's what Scripture says. The message of salvation is for all, for everyone. There is no partiality. He will accept anyone who will come to him. Paul certainly understood that, born a Jew, trained as a Jew, unbelievably educated for his day as a Jew, studied in all the best schools. He grew up believing that Jews were the only ones originally included in God's plan and that God had made a pathway for others to, but they basically had to become a Jew. However, when God broke into Paul's life, ironically, this Jew among Jews became the primary witness to Gentiles, the very ones that he loathed as a Jew among Jews. God changed his heart. Paul understood that God shows no partiality. The Christian boss must learn to show no partiality. Imagine being in the workplace as a lost person. You have a Christian boss who shows partiality to the Christians. What kind of witness is that? Honor God in what you do and treat everybody fairly. The Christian employee shouldn't expect the boss to treat them differently just because they're a Christian. Hey, boss, I don't have to be on that bathroom cleaning list, right? That's not the way it should be. We should treat one another fairly and honorably and honor God in what we do. Reward good work and make it known that good work has its rewards. Every Christian will enter the kingdom of heaven, but our rewards will be different based on how we've worked for and served the Lord. Some will have more than others, but it won't be because God goes, oh, well, you get some and you don't. It will be based upon what we've done for God. And it will be based upon what God has entrusted to us. And see, I'm convinced of this. There are going to be names that we've never heard of that will have so much more blessing in heaven than some names we've heard. Because some of the names we've heard that we think, oh, wow, they're just going to have a lot. God knew their heart. God knew where their motivation was. But some of those names we've never heard, God knew their heart. And God knew their motivation, and they were faithful to God in handling what God had entrusted to them. See, the Christian employer should reward good work, whether it's flashy or not. Work very carefully not to show partiality. We must consider the witness we're giving in our workplace. We must be certain that we're truly seeking to honor God in how we work. A Christian who is not willing to work doesn't honor God. And that's not my opinion, folks. That's what the Word of God says. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he's not to eat either." It's not my opinion, folks. That's what the Word of God says. It is not our job as believers to enable people to be lazy. That doesn't have anything to do with people who have genuine need, with people who can't help themselves. We're told over and over in Scripture to help those who can't help themselves, those who are in need. We're to do things for people who are in need, but when there are people who are not willing to help themselves, who are not willing to do what they need to do, then it's not our responsibility to enable them to do that, to enable them to be lazy. As Christians, we should be the best workers in the labor force. We need to commit to God everything that we do. And you know, I'm still convinced of this reality. If we as Christians worked the way that we ought to work in the workplace, it should be common that employers look for Christians to work. But I understand, you know, there are plenty of folks who call themselves Christian who don't live Christian at all. But for you and I, we can control what we do. May we be the workers that glorify God in what we do. And I want to give you just three practical things in closing that you can do in the workplace to be a God-honoring Christian. First of all, show up on time. And ain't that hard? Show up on time. If you look at my watch right now, it's 10 minutes fast. It's 10 minutes fast. And the reason I do that is because I want to show up on time by my watch, which means I'll be 10 minutes early. I don't like to keep people waiting on me. The other's true, too. I don't really like to wait on people, but I'd rather wait on people than them have to wait on me. Now, that's not to say I'm perfect at that, okay? Sometimes I run late. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes we can't control that, but show up on time. Number two, when you're at work, work. Work as hard as you can. This is not rocket surgery. You heard that right. Then number three, demonstrate character and integrity in everything you do and say. Let your word be your word. Say you're going to do it, do it. You know, the older I get, the more I forget things. So sometimes I forget. I say I'm going to do something. I don't like the fact that I forget. Sometimes I forget. And I have told people this time and time again, I am so grateful for a calendar on my phone, because you know what I'll do if I'm supposed to do something tomorrow? I will put it on my calendar with a reminder so that it reminds me to do it. Even if it's something as simple as making a phone call to somebody or something like that, I'll put it on my calendar to remind myself to do that. I just have to do that. But let our word be our word. And I pray that every one of us here would consider what kind of employer or employee we are. I realize for many of you, you're retired, and you're like, he ain't preaching to me today. But here's the thing. Because we are in the position we're in, because you're in the position you're in as someone who's retired, then appreciate those who serve you when you're out in the community. I know many of you have heard me say over and over, some of you, most of you, many of you are going to go to lunch today. If you give a bad tip, please don't have anything Pleasant Grove on your body. We don't know what's going on in their home. We don't know what they're going through. And if they could be terrible all day, they could spill tea in your lap, but you still ought to honor God in how you treat them, because it's a witness. You know, I've heard through the years over and over, people don't like to wait tables on Sundays because of Christians. Let that not be true of us. May we honor God in how we treat others. And may we be the witness that God would have us to be, whether we're still in the workforce or not. Perhaps you're here today and you believe that God wants to work through you in the ministry of this church. If God's leading you here, then you come and share that with me. If you're not familiar, we do have a discovery class that ultimately you'll need to go through, and we offer that about once a quarter or so. But if God's leading you here, then we want you to serve him where he's leading you. But I'm sure there's someone here this morning that's never placed their faith in Christ, that's never asked his forgiveness and invited him into their life. Listen, it's not about the work that you do to get God's forgiveness. Because you could do all the best work in the world and it'll never measure up to perfection, because that's the standard that it takes to enter the kingdom of heaven. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ was perfect. He was perfect. Never sinned. But he went to the cross and he shed his blood so that a sinner like me could cry out to him and trust in him, knowing that he forgives me, knowing that I can have eternal life through him. If you want to have a relationship with him, just admit you're a sinner. Repent. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ. He has already done everything necessary for your forgiveness, but just as Dennis mentioned, it's a gift. You have to accept it. Trust in him today. Don't leave this place without settling that issue. Don't waste another moment in your life living in the emptiness of sin, but instead trust in a Savior who wants you to spend eternity with him. Whatever burdens or concerns you may have today, this altar's open. Come and lay those at his feet. He wants to meet your needs. Trust it to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this reminder from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus of the reality that we need to be people who represent you well in what we do. God, I pray for all of us who are still in the workforce, I pray we'd honor you in everything we say and do. Everything in the workplace may be about bringing you glory. But God, for each of us, may we consider our witness in whatever we do, how we treat others, how we respond to others. May we glorify you and lift you up in the things that we say and do. God, for anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray right now they'd ask your forgiveness. Right now they'd trust in you and find you as Savior and Lord in their life, that they might know they're forgiven and have eternal life today. But whatever you want to do in our hearts right now, we give this time of invitation to you and ask you to have your way in this place. It's in your precious and powerful name we pray these things. Amen.